Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And...
Wake up.
Oh, okay.
McFly, wake up. McFly, hello. Why are we yawning?
I'm not really sure.
Huh?
I... Okay. True story. True story.
I'm so confused. We've just started.
True story. I started writing this about, I forget what I was writing this about, something to do with sleep. And I decided that that was boring. And so I started writing it about something else, but I left the intro. So I don't know what the yawn was exactly, but... never mind. Can we rewind?
Please hold all questions to the end of the show.
So we're just going to go right into trivia.
Yay.
Yeah. Never mind. I've got jet lag from traveling too much.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
From mentalfloss.com, what does it mean when the queen places her purse on the floor?
She got tired of holding it? What?
Yeah, you'd think. Well, to the average person, yes. But, well, the queen is known to pack lipstick and reading glasses in her purse.
Gasp.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to have money because credit cards, she doesn't need to buy anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, she also uses her iconic Lawner bags to send signals to her staff. For example, when she wants to leave a dinner, she sets her purse on top of the table, letting her aides know to wrap up in 5 minutes. Or if she's in the middle of a dull conversation, she'll place her bag on the floor, giving a cue to her lady-in-waiting that she'd like to be rescued.
Well, now that we know the secrets, it's no more fun.
I know, but I always wondered, like, why does she carry the purse around with her in the, you know, in the castle? It's like, in the palace, what do you think you're going to do?
She's a proper lady.
She's a proper lady,
she's
yes.
Premium proper.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let us move on to joke of a hint.
Yes, this is from Larry the Cable Guy.
Now, Larry says, some of the royal wedding guests are selling their gift bags on eBay. Good luck finding anyone who wants to shower with a Prince Charles soap on a rope. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is bad as my sister who loves frogs, but when she used to take a shower, she would turn them around so they weren't looking at her.
Okay.
She loved frogs.
Okay. My next question is...
The soap on a rope with Prince Charles turned around.
Oh, okay. I was like, why did she have frogs in her bathroom?
I don't know, and I never asked.
Okay. Okay.
I guess she was feeling froggy.
Okay.
Rebit.
Yeah. Okay, so there was this wedding recently.
There was?
Yeah, there was.
There's weddings every week.
I know. This one was a big one.
He didn't see it.
And it's about the theme for today, which is not weddings.
Larry the Cable Guy got married again?
To the queen.
Now that name's funny. I don't care what you say.
And in the middle of the ceremony, she put her purse on the floor. See how that all ties in? And everyone yawned. The end.
See? It works.
So, today, our theme is the royals.
Aren't we supposed to, like, stand up prim and proper and, like, English music in the background?
They don't know that I'm not.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
He's waving.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's royal waving.
Hello. Anyways.
So have you ever wondered what the term blue bloods stands for?
Quite literally, no.
Okay. Well, from phrases.
But I'd like to know now.
.org.uk. Blue blood is a literal translation of the Spanish sangre azul.
Sangradita.
Yeah, this was the designation attributed to some of the oldest and proudest families of Castile, who claim never to have intermarried with Moors, Jews, or other races. The expression probably originated in the blueness of the veins of people of fair complexion as compared with those of dark skin.
That was certainly the understanding in the 19th century, and there seems little reason to doubt it. In 1834, the Anglo-English children's writer Maria Edgeworth published a novel entitled Helen, which reiterates that opinion.
Someone from Spain of high rank and birth of the sangre azul, the blue blood.
These days, there are fewer people noble birth who make a point of maintaining a fair complexion in order to display their rank. we are more likely to see the apparent blue blood in the extremities of those suffering from the poor circulational conditions of Raynaud's. Raynaud's. I was trying to get that flavor in there, you know.
Yeah.
Raynaud's. No. Raynaud's.
Yeah. And now we have fully integrated Royals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so cool.
But they've always had Raynaud's. I mean, look, Princess Grace married, was a Prince Rainier over there in Monaco many years ago.
Yeah.
And she was a, you know, American actress.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she wasn't royal blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
She became royal blood. Yes. And everybody loved her.
Yes. And I think everybody's going to love this one, too.
Princess Diana, well, she wasn't.
She was sort of.
No, she was a commoner.
Wasn't she a Lady Di at one point?
Well, she earned a title. Oh. I believe she was given the title. I think, if I remember, she was given the title, but she wasn't a royal blood at the time.
Oh.
She wasn't in the lineage.
Ah.
So.
Well, you know, the royal family is very proper.
Yes, we knew. Prim and proper.
And it's thrown back to the old days. But I found a top 10 list.
Make sure you have the pinky up when you're drinking your tea. Top 10.
Yes.
That means we have 10 items.
Six.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One of these days, my math will work out.
From clubtop5.com, the top six ways the British royal family can modernize the monarchy.
Ooh, cool. Number six, trade in royal scepter for a huge foam finger with Born to Rule on it.
Five.
I'm number one.
Convicted witches are now microwaved at the stake.
Ooh. No, don't go there, Joe.
Don't, please.
Number four. Have the queen wear her tiara backwards and wrap her speeches as the notorious HMR Liz Crowney Crown and the royal crew.
That would be the Saturday Night Live skit for, yeah, to beat all.
Have you seen the movie Minions?
Yes.
The queen when she's in the fire. All of a sudden, that's what that brought out.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, number three.
Yes.
Upgrade the royal boombox from the 8-track to cassettes.
Never.
No.
That's blasphemy.
I know.
Get rid of 8-tracks?
I know.
What do you think this is, a 27th century?
What do you think?
Number two, for knighthood ceremony, out with the sword and in with the butt head. Headbutt.
Yeah, that was close, Joe. Headbutt. Not the other way around.
Gnarly man.
And the number one way the royal family can modernize the monarchy?
Two words. Extreme fox hunting. Where the foxes get the guns.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know they have attempted to get rid of that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, poor little foxes.
Little foxes are smarter than you think.
Well, I know, and they eat my chickens.
I mean, I'm a fox.
Yeah.
No, I am. No, look at me.
I'm looking at you, Joe. Yes. Yes, you are. Yes.
In Boy Scouts.
He is, really.
In Boy Scouts, when you did training for leadership training, this special training, you became a part of different dens.
Uh-huh.
And my bin was the Fox Patrol.
Okay.
We had the wolves, bears, eagles, the whole nine yards. But I got in the Fox Patrol.
Okay.
And we were the best den.
That's what we say about Joe. Joe is such a fox.
Yeah, baby. If you only can believe in magic.
Or squirrel. All right.
Or squirrel, yeah. Anyways.
Anyway.
Dumb criminals.
Love dumb criminals.
From dumbcriminals.com. A tree grows in England. Three 12-year-olds in England found themselves hauled into the police station and locked in up in the cells for up to 2 hours. Their shoes were removed and mugshots, DNA samples, and mouth swabs were taken, reports the Daily Mail. Their crime? Climbing a tree. The Queen's tree, apparently.
Officers told the children they had been seen damaging the tree, which is in a wooded area of public land near their homes. Questioned by police, the scared friends admitted they had broken some loose branches because they had wanted to build a treehouse, but said they did not realize what they had done was wrong. Yeah, that big, huge castle with the big gates didn't give them a clue, apparently. Boys will be boys.
How dare them kill the king's deer. Robin Hood men in tights.
Another great story. Okay. I've got a little story.
Oh, thank you, Mommy. Please tell me a story.
From Mental Floss, my new favorite website, mentalfloss.com. Did you wonder what the royals got as wedding gifts? You probably it was kept you up all night, probably wondering.
Why, no, I did not.
You did not? Well, I know they asked for donations to charities.
Yes.
However, these are the 25 strange, well, I don't think we have 25. We only have a few.
Okay.
Strangest wedding gifts given to royals throughout history.
With the wedding of Britain's Prince. Oh, I can speak today. With the wedding of Britain's Prince Harry to American Meghan Markle, heads of state from around the world were contemplating what gifts to send to mark the occasion. Although the many royal couples, including Harry and Meghan, shy away from traditional wedding gifts and instead ask for charitable donations to be made in their names, that still doesn't stop the barrage of often fairly bizarre and random non-registered gifts sent by well-wishers, quotation royals, they're just like us, unquote. Looking back through the history book, it seems that giving unusual wedding presents to royal newlyweds is nothing new. Below are some of the strange wedding gifts given to the happy couples dating all the way back to ancient Egypt.
A tandem bike. When the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, then Prince William and Kate Middleton, married in 2011, the then Mayor of London and current British Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson, gifted the couple a tandem bike in the style of the city's then relatively new bike share program. I look forward to seeing the newlyweds on tandem bikes as they start their new life in Angeles, he told at Trafalgar Square on the day. Not a bad gift for the sporty couple, but no one's seen them riding in it.
Imagine that.
Imagine.
A giant jigsaw puzzle of the bride and groom. When Philippe, Prince of Asturias, now King Philippe...
Six. V1.
Ooh, vegan one. Wow. V1 of Spain, married Leticia Ortiz Roscalzona.
Yeah, close.
Roscalzano. Mm-hmm. In 2004, the people of the Asturian capital, Oviedo, sent them a giant... gigantic jigsaw puzzle depicting their portrait that was assembled by visitors to the local shopping mall.
How pleasant.
Can you imagine 20 or 35 people all trying to put a puzzle together? No, that goes here. No, that goes there. No, this one. Turn that around. No, this fits here.
I'm from an Italian family. Yes, I can imagine that. Here's one.
Yes.
A stop smoking course.
Well, every prince and princess needs that.
When Crown Prince Haakon and her heir to the throne of Norway married Mette Marit Tjam Høisby in Oslo, say that again, in 2001, one of the gifts reportedly sent to the couple was a course on how to quit smoking, intended to curb the bride's smoking habit.
Is that like one of those things? Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
Oh, this is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
1 ton of peat. Yeah. When Prince Charles when Prince Charles like married Lady Diana Spencer in 1981, they received a number of traditional gifts, including paintings, jewelry, a four-poster bed, and an Art Deco Cartier clock. Charles' interest in agriculture was picked up by the local village council in Somerset, Southwest England, who opted to send the prince 1 ton of high-quality peat for use in the Gloucestershire estate.
Duh. Do you think they put it in a box with a bow? I mean, I got some wedding gifts that I opened and went, But...
Things that make you go,
This one I love. The ingredients for a wedding cake.
Hello. Okay.
Wartime rationing was still in place in Great Britain when Princess Elizabeth, now Queen Elizabeth II, married Lieutenant Philip Mountbatten, now Prince Philip, in 1947. To get around the food shortages, the Australian Girl Guides Association chose to gift the couple with the ingredients they would need for their wedding cake. Aww.
That's cute.
That's sweet.
Yeah, going with the wedding cake, why not give him a box of apples?
Yeah.
Rationing didn't stop the British public from giving Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip presents either. In addition to a box of homegrown apples, the royal couple were also sent 500 tins of pineapple, 2 dozen handbags, 12 bottles of sloe gin, and 131 pairs of nylon stockings. But they forgot to send them the spam.
I know.
This is where Dave in the background starts singing, spam, 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 spam.
Moving on. A feast made entirely of sugar, including a sugar replica of the groom. When King Henry IV of France married Marie de Medici in 1600, he presented her with a grand Florentine banquet of fish and roast meats, at least at first glance. Turns out, the feast was made entirely from sugar. The groom perhaps took the European love of sugar a bit too far. Their ceremony was a wedding by proxy. In his stead, Henry sent a near life-size sugar replica of himself riding a horse. Honey, sweetie, sugar.
No, I can't even. No, no. Let's move on. before I say things I ought not to.
I got some jokes.
Cool.
I found another interesting website. Okay. Just for the world. It's allthingsregal.blogspot.com.
Hello.
Yes, these are fun one-liners.
Okay.
Why did the king ban smoking in his court?
Answer, he was anti-smoke king.
Yeah. When a king has back problems, what is the usual diagnosis?
A king back.
What do Richard the Lionheart and Winnie the Pooh have in common?
No.
Yes.
Okay, folks, the big reveal, the same middle name. Both are called the.
Yes, I love that. Why did the king put a bank machine in every castle?
No. So he can make nightly deposits.
It gets worse, folks.
But wait, there's more.
What do you call it when knights get up and change their seats at the round table?
A night shift.
There we go. Why were the early days of history called the Dark Ages?
Oh, because there were so many knights. But wait, there's more.
Is there any proof that people played tennis in Tudor times?
Yes. Many people served in Henry VIII's court. Bad.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Which English king invented the fireplace? This one's a little esoterical here.
Stretch time. Alfred the Great.
G-R-A-T.
Great.
Great. Fireplace, great.
Great. Do you hear the crickets in the background?
Yeah,
I do. That one didn't go over.
What did Anne Boleyn's mother say when her daughter said that she had fallen in love with Henry VIII?
Don't get too serious. That man's not worth losing your head over. Yo.
Okay, this is one I've asked myself a lot.
Okay.
How do you find a prince?
You follow his footprints.
See, I've been doing it all wrong. No wonder. Why did the king go to the dentist?
Well, this makes a logical sense. Mm-hmm. To get his teeth crowned.
Of course. And this one I love. Where did the Burger King take the Dairy Queen for the first date?
The White Castle.
Of course.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Or 2 o'clock in the morning. Ugh. Or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Don't eat
it. Or one of those. Why? I love White Castles.
Okay.
But then again, you have to have a cast iron stomach, so.
Yes, I know.
Quotes and quips from Quotelan.com. A throne is only a bench covered with velvet. That so says Napoleon Bonaparte.
I love that. Little by little, the old world crumbled, and not once did the king imagine that some of the pieces might fall on him. That's from Jennifer Donnelly from the Revolution magazine.
Wow. Michael Cooper says in A Brief History of Montmartre, there's a fine line between gossip and history. One is when one is talking about kings.
I've been watching The Crown on Netflix. It's all about the royals, starting with when Queen Elizabeth.
Why would they make a TV show about booze?
The Crown Royal?
Yeah.
Help me. I am locked in a studio with this guy.
Here's how we make it. Here's how we put in a barrel. We wait for this year. We wait another year. No, we wait
one,
another year.
No one put the queen in a barrel. Anyway, so, yes. So things that I've heard as rumors are being shown on Netflix as truth.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if it's fiction because it's a TV show or if it's true because it's biographical, and I'm confused, but either way, Prince Philip comes off like a cad. Anyway.
You know, I don't know enough about royal history to even begin to be offer a beautiful expose of nothing.
Well, if Queen Elizabeth Regina II is watching The Crown, she's probably going, oh my, he's finally getting his just desserts.
Or she's laughing saying, that's so not true. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Anyway, another top 10 list.
Yay!
Top5.com. Great Britain's Prince Harry, third in line to the throne, served in the military. I think most people know that. Yep. His regiment was called the Blues and Royals, and they were deployed to Iraq. So this is the top 13 signs you're fighting alongside royalty. I wonder, did people know? I mean, they must have known. They must have known that he was a prince.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they? All the more reason to fight and
after
to
these
protect
13
them.
Things, they would know.
True. Number 13, despite the duct tape, his crown keeps slipping off the helmet during battle. Yeah.
Upon taking fire from the insurgents, we are not amused. I'm going to send them a strongly worded letter.
Stop it. Number 11, wouldn't it be more sporting if we just challenged them to a croquet match?
Yeah. 10, your mounted regiment just won the Iraqi National Polo Championship.
Ooh.
That's not funny.
No. Number 9, the shooting comes to a grinding halt every afternoon for 4 o'clock tea. That is only proper.
Your entire regiment's MREs come with silver-plated plastic cutlery and gray poupon.
Pardon me. May I have some gray poupon? Well, certainly. Number 7. On my signal, Colonel Warmer released the foxes.
Just leave it there. Just leave it. Leave it. Back away from the joke. Back away from the joke. 6. In his foxhole is a split-level oak panel job that resembles the Waldorf, only with more restaurants and a better bar.
Number 5. The latrine seats are covered with ermine.
Number 4. The guy they call His Royal Highness, the Sniper of Wales, practices his craft by picking off the paparazzi.
Ooh. I like that one.
Me too.
Number 3. I would love to patrol the perimeter. However, I am scheduled to dine with King Adala in Riyadh precisely at 6 p.m.
2. Before each sniper shot, he muttered, I dub thee, Sir Dead-O.
Oh. And the number 1 sign you're fighting alongside royalty.
She looks smashing, just like my stepmom.
Sir, that's a horse.
Poor Camilla. So, we talked about the purse. We're moving on here. We talked about the purse.
Yes.
There are 16 fashion rules that the royal family lives by.
Ooh.
And I did see this on The Crown, and I did see this in the royal wedding, demonstrated in the royal wedding. This is by Jamie Blynn, who's one of the royal writers. The British royal family abides by very specific and strict style guides. And though it must be tough to appear prim and proper at all time, the Queen's handful of sartorial rules have kept the family looking posh and avoiding potential embarrassment and faux pas for 60-plus years. Mm. When should one wear their military garb? What else might clutches be good for, beyond carrying breath mints and a lipstick? It's all in the figurative handbook. Below are royal fashion do's and don'ts.
So please take out your notebook and pen and paper, and here we go. Bright colors are a necessity for the Queen. After all, she wants to be noticed. Throughout her 66-year reign, Queen Elizabeth II has sported monochromatic fuchsia, lime green, canary yellow outfits from her wardrobe, which boast every color of the rainbow. The uniform is quite sensible, though. She wants to guarantee that the public can see her through the crowd. Don't forget that when she turns up somewhere, crowds of 2, 3, 4, 10, 15 deep, and someone wants to be able to say that they saw a bit of the Queen's hat as she went past.
Aww. That's so nice.
So she would be a standout at a Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Well, maybe not.
Well,
only if she wore tie-dye.
That girl, that old broad's got a hat on, man.
But hats are a must for women.
Nice segue.
Royal etiquette requires one be worn by women to all official events. It's a stipulation that dates back to the 1950s, a time when women were starting to ditch their hats when going out in public. Though further modernization has eased up on the rule, Duchess of Cambridge Kate Middleton's perfect blowout is proof enough. The Queen insists the tradition be kept alive, especially at formal engagements like weddings and christenings. In fact, she rarely forgoes a headpiece, often trading a hat for a crown or headscarf. The most important rule, hats are discarded after 6 p.m. when it's time to break out the tiaras.
Do you know another rule about the hats?
They say, I don't know.
No, I actually saw this. This is one of the few things I actually saw in the running. The hat, your hat, cannot be bigger than the Queen's.
Oh.
So if she's wearing a small pillbox, you better be wearing a small pillbox.
Camilla's in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was wearing this thing at the royal wedding that looked like it was going to take flight.
Did you see the Facebook's post on that?
No, I didn't.
They turned it around and made it look like a tray of hors d'oeuvres and ham and all this other stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, I saw that. Theoretically. So my question is then, was there a conflict of interest between the Kentucky Derby then and a royal wedding?
Oh.
Because
you could get some mileage off that hat.
Yeah, but can you use the same hat in two public
That's
events?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know.
Back to back like that.
If you're a commoner, I suppose.
Yeah, because you don't know anything.
Kate Middleton got in big trouble, though, because she wore the same dress to two events. And the paparazzi, of course, photographed her.
Immediately spotted it.
Yeah.
Tiaras are like wedding rings.
They cut off your circulation? Only the too tight.
Shut up, Joe. Yes, only married women of the family get to don the jewels. That's because tiaras signify relationship status and let curious bachelors know if a woman if she's off limits. It signals a crowning of love and the loss of innocence to marriage. Jeffrey Munn, the author of Tiaras, The History of Splendor, explained in Forbes. The family tiara was worn by the bride, and from that moment on, it was a groom's jewelry she was expected to wear. It was a subliminal message that she had moved on from her own family to another.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yuck.
Yuck, I know. Always have a black ensemble on hand. You'll rarely see a royal wearing black, but while traveling outside the country, they're required to pack a full black outfit in case of emergency. This is so that if a family member dies, they'll arrive back in England dressed appropriately, since they will certainly be photographed when departing the plane. Still, outside of mourning, black is considered major faux pas. You'll only see the hue worn on Remembrance Day, a memorial observed for those who have died in battle.
My mom, and my wife's sister recently passed away, and we were at a funeral, and my mom was talking about funerals afterwards, and she says, Joe, when I die, I expect you to come in a Hawaiian shirt. Jesus.
Oh, that would be you.
Yeah, it would be.
That is all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we are...
singing God Save the Queen.
No. Together we are...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks.